Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Ah, yes, that is not the frigid Arctic tundra-like temperatures in New York City. That is the streaming hot beats to announce that eating disorder is now about to commence. We're on the heritageradio.org. This is Eating Disorder. I am your co-host, Crazy Legs Conti. I'm joined by my other co-host.
I'm the Reverend Spiro.
The Reverend, he's just going for a real ominous vibe there. He might be frozen to the seat. We broadcast out of a retrofitted, repurposed shipping container. And this one seems like it has gone through the Baltic frozen wasteland to arrive here. I do wear shorts year-round, so I probably shouldn't complain. But we're here, and let's talk. Now, we've been doing a segment. We have a third co-host for those who've only been listening for the last 6 weeks. They may not realize that the person we're referring to is not fictitious, but a real individual.
Yeah, we're doing the Where's Paldo segment.
Where's Paldo? Chef Paul Girard. And yeah. I believe, am I right, Rev? We can now announce Paldo. We both attended, I guess it was the opening, or was it the soft opening?
It was a soft opening, but it was
sort of like a high school date.
Our friend, Chef Paul Girard, has opened a new place. It's in Tribeca, which is, you know, pretty schlank.
Yeah,
pretty
trendy,
schlank.
Yeah,
right on the corner of Church and Walker.
Tell me they didn't take over the old burrito bar space.
That's the old burrito bar space, which has become like nine other things since. But the funny thing about it was one of his partners is Billy Gilroy, who's been a guest here, and he's, you know, and he's entrenched with employees only. And with Macau Trading,
he's a tastemaker, is what the Rev is saying. He's a snappy dresser who opens adult bars for.
But he's also a doer and a maker. He does things right. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that happened on Friday when we went,
yes,
was it wasn't that cold, except for the fact that that freaking corner is so motherfucking cold.
Yeah, yeah.
That my ball shriveled to freaking peanuts.
Clearly, your brain did too. We were there on Thursday.
Thursday. Right.
Yeah. How many bespoke artisanal single origin cocktails did you have while Chef Paul was not looking at you?
While that wasn't happening. It was still packed.
It was packed. And it was a beautiful crowd. I mean, there were some stunning women. Even tonight I was asking you who the blonde Asian with the cleavage was. You didn't even notice her. You're very faithful. It's just Valentine's Day, so I'm sure you did something nice with Judy. I met Crystal. I don't know if it was a C or K, but she's a bartender there, but she was on our side of the bar.
Yeah,
I had one lightly broiled, well-spiced oyster. Yeah. And I thought the place looked great. And you saw some famous people too.
Well, I mean, Paul had he just posted pictures on our Facebook page of David Johansen, aka Buster Poindexter, with DJ Jonathan Toobin.
Okay,
you know, but there were some other people as well. We're not name droppers. We don't do that here.
We don't do that here. I met a guy named Ralphie. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, name drop. Sorry.
Wait, which Ralphie?
I don't know. I didn't get his last name.
From Canarsie?
No.
No.
Ralphie,
okay,
from Canarsie? We name drop just regular folk.
But it was a fun night. It's a great place. It's going to do amazing. And Paul will be back.
Oh,
he will be back. Paldo will be back in March.
Belle Revelle, check it out in Tribeca. And
Belle Rev.
Belle Rev. Sorry, what did I say? Belle Revelle?
Yeah, Belle Rev. And it's Belle Rev, and actually, from my comic book geek standpoint, and to our friends at Jim Hansen's Universe out in 32nd Street, Belle Rev is also the jail in the Batman universe.
Ah, okay.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking Reveille because I need
Belle
to wake
Rev
up. I've been doing the chicory-based coffee here usually, and I'm awake for 4 days after. Speaking of someone who can filter between the world of regular people and the A-list world of celebrities that can, was there a reporter in Gotham in the Batman? I was thinking Jimmy Olsen, but he's Superman. He's Metropolis.
Nah, the reporters weren't a big deal in Gotham. They got shot and killed pretty quick.
Well, then
and
I would say this: our guest tonight would be the best reporter in Gotham, and he would survive. He would survive.
Especially on a new show, which I love.
He would get the exclusive with that guy, the commander in chief who puts up the bat signal, and he'd be down at Arkham with the other guys. But anyway,
well, because he has a comic book name.
But Justin, more importantly, Rocket
Silverman.
And he's worked, among other things, he's worked for 3 New York dailies, although I guess AM New York maybe has a weekend edition, but formerly at the New York Post, currently at the Daily News, and we can find out the difference between those 2 newsrooms. We can find out lots of interesting stories if we finally stop
bantering
and introduce
Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon. Yeah, I was picturing the actor in my mind, though. Whose name also escapes me. He's good in everything. He just blends into a role. That's why I bought these clear glasses that the listening audience at home can't see.
Yes.
Because I saw a picture with... Who's the guy? He was in The Contender.
He was
in the Planet of the Apes
movie.
Fifth Element. Gary Oldman.
There you go.
All right. Let's just start off. Have you ever met or interviewed Gary Oldman?
I have not had the pleasure of interviewing Gary Oldman.
Do you do Netflix? Do you do what? How do you watch movies?
I do Netflix.
Would he be someone you've searched for? Have you ever gone to the Gary Oldman page on Netflix?
I can't say that I have.
All right.
Now I'm inspired.
Yeah, all right.
I will say, though, that if given the opportunity to be the only apparently living reporter
yes.
in Gotham City, I think we can skip the chief of police interview maybe just go for the day in the life of Bruce Wayne.
Oh, all right.
Wayne Manor.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I love the show.
You would feel confident sort of navigating those waters? Would you try, as a reporter, and you're a very good reporter, how would you approach that? Meaning, are you going to say to Michael Caine?
There was a reporter, it was Vicki Vale. Remember from the first movie.
I say Rocket's better looking than Vicki Vale.
Thank you, Crazy Legs.
Who played Vicki Vale? Was it Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No. From the very first movie, from
Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Yes,
Joker?
Yes. What's her name?
Kim Basinger.
Yes, thank you.
She was. Oh yeah.
Vicki Vale.
All right. How would you approach? So you're approaching Wayne Manor. Do you get in with the butler, Michael Caine? Do you talk to the girlfriends? Do you just go right ahead to Bruce? How do you do it?
We kind of have to establish the terms first here.
Terms of what the story's about?
No, what level of fantasy world we're dealing with.
Oh, okay.
If we were living in New York City in 2015 and I wanted to get an interview with Bruce Wayne, I would contact his publicist, most likely.
Okay.
I guess there was a reporter in the Batman series, but I don't think there was a publicist. Okay.
They never get into the details. They don't do that.
All right.
I don't know how Bruce Wayne handles his media requests.
And so publicists are really like the velvet rope holders to all these people, right? I mean, you got to be on good terms with a lot of different publicists to be able to get into the Golden Kingdom, so to speak.
Sure, in the world of celebrity, absolutely.
In the world of celebrity.
And, you know, it's a double-edged sword because they have a story they want you to tell.
Right.
You have a story you want to tell.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to meet somewhere in the middle there.
Yes. I've got this product on QVC that is going to be sold. And you'd like to interview about...
The funny thing is, I work on 32nd Street, and we talk about Murray Hill as the realm of little PR girls, who all have crap products to push. It's awesome. They're pushing socks. They're pushing some crap, feminine hygiene product. All the girls who live on Murray Hill doing PR are pushing something weird and bizarre. Never Kanye, mm-hmm. never Absolute,
Okay.
But these are the girls that grow up to push Kanye.
Yes. No. These are the girls
who grow up to marry
the guys who live in, down on Wall Street.
It's definitely a type in the city. It's definitely a type.
How has it been dealing with PR? Would you rather have to go through the PR to get to a celebrity, or would you rather just have a regular person that you're like, this is the story I'm going for?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, if you have access to the regular person. The human being, you go for them first.
Okay. And what have been some stories recently despite the fact I happen to know you've been on vacation, that you've been just doodling and sketching in South America. But prior to
awesome.
Yeah. Well, you forced me to eat a lot of pancakes. I guess we should go back.
Like
a
to have your fucking
say,
life.
that pancakes does come to mind, actually, because it was a bit of a debate we had in the newsroom.
Well,
let's go back and review that.
What happened?
Rocket and I met because he contacted a regular person, myself, who happened to be a competitive eater, and I ended up on the cover of AM New York for demonstrating how to eat Nathan's hot dogs many pre-July 4th ago. I will say this. There's something about, I think when you're a kid growing up, the notion is like you want to see yourself on the news, like waving behind the newscaster. But as an adult, you're like, you want to make the cover of the paper. Woo-hoo. And I made the cover of the paper. I didn't know it was a cover story. I walked out of my apartment and I saw my face in a puddle. But it wasn't my reflection. Someone at like 7:30 had already thrown their copy of AM New York down into a puddle, and my face was on the cover. And
clearly having read it. Clearly having read it cover to cover first.
Yes. So we did that story and then many others. And recently you wanted to take a look into the high-stakes live-and-die world of IHOP's all-you-can-eat pancake meal.
The underworld of pancakes.
Yes. And what was the debate in the newsroom about it?
Well, the debate, we decided we wanted to do a story about the all-you-could-eat pancakes at IHOP and whether it truly was all-you-could-eat, right?
Yes.
We've all heard stories about guys who have attacked the buffet and then been cut off at various times.
Or slow-plated. That's a term
slow-plated.
Juan Morbay Rodriguez was talking about going to a place and being slow-plated. I'd never heard that before, but... Yeah.
So do we contact IHOP PR?
Right.
They have a
PR lady,
they
too. She lives in Queens, though, not Murray Hill.
Really?
Yeah. They probably have a whole team of public relations experts somewhere in Sheboygan or some town like that. It's a national chain here. Do we go through them and say, hey, we want to do this. We're going to come in and try the pancakes. We're going to bring a professional eater with us. Or do we just go in there and kind of, pirate style, I guess.
Yeah, undercover.
Undercover.
I didn't even realize we were undercover.
Wow.
Serpico of the buffet. I'm gonna now use that.
Deep cover.
Because what was the result? I mean, how many pancakes did you guys eat?
Well, we should say up front that unbeknownst to the IHOP staff, we were there to kind of beat the system,
right?
Which is what you would think bringing a competitive eater to an all-you-can-eat buffet, which costs like $6.49.
It's amazingly affordable.
Our server, it was like she was in tune. She was like, I'm going to bring you out two orders at once off the top, and I'm just going to keep them coming. Like she was, I wish she was a bartender.
I was about to say, she was like the bartender at Mars Bar when it was still there.
Phenomenal. She really did a nice job. The pancakes are very dense. They come, was it two or three to an order?
Two to an order.
Yeah. With a little dab of... it looks like butter, but it could be whipped cream. It's hard to say.
Well, you were very clear at the beginning that you do not take condiments.
That's
with
true.
Your food.
That's true.
However, I feel like you fudged a little.
Well,
bit.
Well, I only use enough syrup for the aesthetic visual value, so it looks like the cover of a Bisquick box or something. But I was against the spin-off flavors. Maple syrup, yes. Breakfast syrup, no. But even worse, what you
blueberry,
had something
pecan
and the blueberry. He's shaking his head no,
really?
And I have to agree.
Okay, really?
There was nothing remotely blueberry about it. in fact, it tasted like maybe like an alien's version of blueberry. Like they were like, we grew this in a Petri dish based on a picture we found from the planet Earth 2015.
Oh, wow.
Please tell us, does it taste like blueberry? And you're like,
amazing. Mm.
I'll put it on pancakes.
Fortunately, we were able to beat the record for
that location,
right? We asked the waitress,
yes.
How many pancakes is the most you've seen eaten? And she said 13. So,
which is interesting because we thought about this. The guy who ate 13, he left one on the plate. Like, was he just was done in?
They come or two
just,
to an order.
Yeah, so we were confused by that. But fortunately, I did eat the 14. I had a little... eggs and hash brown as well.
Really?
Coffee, too. Unlimited was $1.56 for unlimited coffee.
Oh, my God. You were doing, like, the lube.
I went in like, I'm going to take these corporate bastards down. And at the end, I was like, hey, everybody, come on into IHOP. It's great in here. Like, I was ready to move to Sheboygan. I know. Whatever's in those pancakes, they make you really like the place.
I had a similar experience, right? You know? I was ready to knock
look at that.
Yeah.
They were actually pretty good pancakes.
They were. Yeah.
Although, they varied order to order.
True. You had a tough go because you wanted to have what I had eaten. And I think, was it your last order? Was sort of your last order, let's just say they were, you remember Shrinky Dinks as a kid where you...
I still love those.
The plastic disc you would put in your oven. And
yeah.
Does this have something
to do with your bowels? Because, like, you're...
He had one order that were Shrinky Dinks.
Oh.
But for the most part.
Which were such a marked contrast to the other pancakes that we had.
We're good. So that's anyway. That was the that was the story he filed before he jetted off to the tropics.
Oh.
But give us another story that was maybe more difficult or less high concept or whatever. I don't know.
Well, actually, let me throw a couple stories up.
Oh, okay, please.
All right, because one of the ones that I was interested in was Lauren Singer. Lauren Singer and a couple of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, just weird food stuff.
Yeah.
Lauren Singer claims she hasn't created any garbage in, what, a year? Right?
2 years.
Two years. Right? She claims she hasn't created any garbage.
Well, she claims she's created a very, very small amount of garbage. Just enough to fit in a mason jar.
Yeah, because I'm calling bullshit. Because if you get an orange with a label on it, you got fucking garbage
on
it.
But does it count if you peel it off in the store before you buy it?
Oh, well, I mean, maybe she actually talked to her.
She's got garbage, but it fits in a mason jar. What she created in a year fits in a mason jar. It's exactly that. It's those labels from fruit.
Oh, really? Fruit labels.
They all say organic.
The last frontier.
Straws. I mean,
should we go to Sharpie at this point? Like, you know.
Wouldn't you think she would eat the fruit labels? If I was presented with that, I would just eat the fruit labels. Probably
I don't think the fruit labels are organic, and they may be GMO.
You're probably right. Mm-hmm. So what was her goal? To lessen her carbon footprint?
She studied environmental science, and she's trying to show that we...
But what about her clothes? I mean, her clothes are going to be garbage at one point or another.
I'm imagining...
They're not in the last 2 years.
She recycles or composts.
Composts her clothes?
Her clothes. So her clothes have to be like cotton, like completely cotton.
If she
That's bullshit.
If she donates her clothes, does that count as creating
garbage?
Does it?
I'm not sure.
And Reverend, how many clothes do you actually throw away?
Clearly nothing. You're dressed like it's 1992 and you live in Seattle.
Yes, I know, and I'm wearing the same clothes from 1992. But I mean, yeah. I give them away to... poor people and charity and whatever. I do.
It sounds unbelievable.
And I appreciate you giving me all those clothes from 1989.
You look nice. That's a nice plaid shirt you've got there. Speaking of Seattle, 1992.
Seriously, it looks like Allison Chains is sitting here.
This was a Christmas gift. My dad and his wife gave me like a L.L. Bean man satchel. They're like, would you carry this around? I was like, I don't. I said, I know, I didn't want to. I felt like I was going to get beat up by everybody in New York if I got that. So I got.
You guys are
shirt.
Surprisingly unlayered for the coldest day in at least 15 years in New York City.
I have my big. See, I don't do layers. You know why? The layer thing is a myth for certain people, and I'm going to tell you why. I sweat like a stuck pig in a barbecue. Okay, seriously. So the layer thing doesn't work for me. I need. Cotton. Everybody goes, wool. I need cotton.
Breathable fabric. Okay.
Yeah, and then I need one big monstrous coat. Like, I got this big Adidas down jacket that I got from Japan when I worked for Tokyon Magazine years ago, and it's still awesome, and it's the big Mothra jacket, and it's amazing.
It does look like he's a walking sleeping bag.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole idea. Yeah. I don't do the layer thing because when I'm on a subway, if you sweat in your layers, quote unquote, you know, in the subway, and then you get off the subway, you just suffer, you know. And if you have to walk 10 blocks back home, it sucks, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that we're just giving the listeners at home. We were talking about a hot chick who doesn't create any trash. And then all of a sudden we went to, you know, 250-pound Greek guy sweating in his cocoon. So, Rocket, what was the final verdict on the girl who's not the same Lori Singer as the one I was hoping? What was your thought, your unbiased journalistic thought?
It seems unbelievable.
Yes.
But from all appearances, she really does create that little amount of trash.
Boom.
And she's
we don't
follow her around 24 hours a day.
We should.
She could have huge hefty bags full of crap that she's just throwing out the window at 4 in the morning so no one can see. But
yeah, like at 5 points in like the turn of the century, you know.
did you remember the guy, the breatharian from a couple years ago
who lived only on air?
Yeah, except he used to order slices of pizza from my roommate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was
Jubb's longevity, right?
Yeah.
Judd.
I saw him once at the Turkish Baths. I won't bore you with that story. All right,
there were stories in the New York Times about that guy and whether you could really live off air or not. I mean,
you can live off air, but you can't thrive off air. Come on.
Well,
depends on the air.
Ms. Singer, I mean, you need air.
Miss Singer did a Kickstarter campaign. She's starting a new detergent company.
Okay,
laundry detergent made of only two or three ingredients.
Have you seen the Portlandia skit about how shit that doesn't have any soap in it doesn't fucking work?
No, but I think I just got the point. She's going to have a new show on YouTube about not creating trash.
Oh, that's, right. Good. That's good.
She seems like the real deal. I mean,
good. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break to create some trash, to peel our labels off our Roberta's Pizza. We're going to be back with Rocket Silverman. We're going to talk about the difference between the Daily Newsroom and the New York Post Newsroom. We're going to discuss various newsrooms in fictional things, The Wire and whatnot, and whatever else he wants to talk about, some other stories. But eating disorder, we'll be back after this word from our sponsor, if we had one.
Nice.
You are listening to 3 Weeks by Space Ghost.
Super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew WK. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Eating disorder?
Not really.
It is eating disorder.
Yeah.
And I am eating. And that was Andrew WK. His ad was longer last time.
Yeah, I know.
He cut it short. He must be under the table. We are Eating Disorder, and my co-host, the Reverend, and I are back with Rocket Silverman, who's worked many jobs. So I'm just going to, because the Rev has a lot he wants to cover.
Well, I mean, I want to cover, here's what I want to cover. Right. First and foremost, before we get into what I want to cover.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your birthday cake.
Oh, yes. Well,
contest.
The Rocket has seen a lot of competitive eating. I was in balmy, actually, they actually said it was the coldest West Palm Beach had been, 61 degrees. People were like, oh, my God, it's cold,
ooh,
right?
61 degrees, oh, my God.
I left New York, it was 6 degrees. I was like, no, I'll take the West Palm Beach.
Crazy. Like, is it true it's easier to eat a lot when it's chillier out?
Not true. Not true. Well, it depends on the food, I should say. I did hot dogs, you want it to be a certain... You don't want hot because the hot will actually cause the buns to kind of crisp up. And if it's too cold, the grease just stays in them, you know, and then you've got nitrate problems later. But This was birthday cake for the West Palm Beach outlets. It was their first year. And this is not, we don't understand malls in New York, but for $40 you could get like 8 Speedos at Aqua Swimwear. You could get a beautiful crock pot at Lake Crozet. They had a,
and you can get one of those flying birds, you know, the ones that
they had a plus size lingerie store called Torrid.
As seen on TV store?
Is it? This was a classy mall.
Oh, I see.
But I ate, I had problems with frosting, and I ate 5 pounds.
Oh, 5 pounds of birthday
only
cake.
Good enough five. For fifth place. The winner, Matt Megatoad Stoney, ate 14.5 wow. pounds. That is 7.5 Whole Foods buttercream vanilla cakes.
Wow. So you came in fifth after 5 pounds?
5 pounds, yeah. I had eaten the same as the fourth place competitor, but I had so much frosting on my hand that I was deducted two whole plates. So I was
really?
Deducted. Yeah, it was a fair deduction. No, it was a fair deduction.
That reminds me of something that happened in the Daily News recently. Cookie Monster came in and had an eating contest with Gersh.
I saw Gersh Kuntzman's photo, and Gersh beat him. Gersh beat Cookie Monster.
Now, because
debris, I would imagine, right? Cookie Monster is not known as a mutter, as we know in the sport.
I don't know if he swallowed a single crumb out of that cookie.
Gorgeous for cookie.
He was on a diet.
For me.
Does it do? Do people often come to the newsroom? Are they invited? Or I would imagine no. I mean, I guess the question is, I would imagine there are people trying to storm the newsroom.
Sure.
But then there are people who are invited, and what luminaries have graced the presence?
Well, I think other than the political
yes.
luminaries or maybe people with actual power in recent memory, not to say that puppies don't have a lot of power, because
right.
they certainly do, especially in the tabloid news business, but
yeah.
the Puppy Bowl competitors
yes.
were there right before the Super Bowl.
A lot of pee on the AstroTurf.
A lot of pee and a lot of giggles and O's and ahs,
yeah.
that
All
kind
right.
of shit.
Same thing happens when Paris Hilton comes by the newsroom.
Hey, look, if you saw my Facebook page, I've been trying to freaking get a kitten adopted for 3 weeks, and I finally mm-hmm. got them done.
All right, congrats.
Yes, it's awesome. But the Puppy Bowl is something that I hold true to my heart from the standpoint mm-hmm. of if the Giants aren't fucking playing the Super Bowl, I don't fucking give a shit. You know, like, oh, Seattle, yeah, go fuck yourself. Oh. I don't really give a shit. You got pot legalized.
Focus, ref.
You already won.
Ref.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
All right, so talk to us. Newsroom differences. New York Post versus the Daily News.
Well, I got to be careful with my words
Fair
here.
Fair enough. You are allowed to swear on the air, but go
That's
ahead.
Excellent, because I'm going to need to describing the yes. New York Post newsroom, which is... I've never worked in a professional environment where you hear the word fuck thrown around so often and with such force.
Yes.
I mean, it's an amazing place to work. It's
okay.
so much fun for that reason, right?
Right?
And I would be not telling the truth if I said there was no cursing at the Daily News, but it seems to be a little bit more civilized.
More polite expletives.
More polite
You've
expletive.
Got my dander up, sir.
Yeah. Gosh darn it, Jim, where's my copy?
Excellent. All right, Rev, why don't you go to another one of your stories?
All right, a couple of things that we're looking at.
Now, these are stories that have been in the news
in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And one of the ones that I want to talk about is... Soylent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a
douche canoe created
a based product that you can live on as
yeah.
the only thing you live on.
But I mean,
it's not
the scientist who created it, his name is Robert Reinhardt,
mm-hmm.
created Soylent.
Yes.
All right. Do we have a problem with this? Okay, I'm sorry.
The name? Because...
No, I mean, he created the product.
Heston
and
knows
and,
what it's
and,
made
and
of.
It's
a full 100% meal replacement. It's you just drink it. And I think the issue there for me is you miss masticating. Because I love to masticate. I masticate a lot all day long.
The issue with me is that it was created. The name
in a lab?
Came from a weird science fiction movie that has something to do with humans being eaten
yeah,
as
I don't have
food.
A problem with that.
Okay.
It's all marketing. But now let me ask Rocket this. Something like that, which is on the pop culture radar, is that something you gravitate towards for a story, or are you looking for the undiscovered gems?
A lot of what I do is considered stunt journalism, gonzo
stunt
journalism.
Gonzo journalism. In honor of...
Hence my joining you in the pancake
yeah,
eating
yes,
competition
absolutely.
Instead of just watching you
right.
make yourself sick on way too much gluten
yeah.
for one human being to eat on one
yeah, they
day.
Gave, I had a side of gluten with a spoon they gave me. But
oh.
Yes.
Mm.
So
the, as far as Soylent goes, something that I would be attracted to would be maybe trying to live off Soylent for 30 days.
30 days on Soylent.
Which is what the inventor did, actually, to demonstrate that it could be done.
We at this show, before you were on Crazy Legs, we tried to live off of a food stamp budget for a week.
Well, that's a very noble cause, though.
Yeah, we lasted a day.
Yeah. Rocket's talking about no, we, something. I mean,
did I you mean, even eat for that day?
Yeah, we did. And we actually went for, like, it was like $7 a day. And we literally couldn't make it 2 days without, you know, blowing the budget.
So that's, but that's more, you know, Jacob Riis, how the other half lives. I think what.
Well, that's the high social.
Yeah, you're talking minding. About stuff that is going to be, that's basically going to go viral in a journalistic sense.
Sure, okay. And you know, potentially says something about the larger culture, although it's
right.
It's not always clear exactly what it is the thing is trying to say. In pursuit of these kind of gonzo things,
right.
I've been hit with a taser grenade.
Ooh,
at Taser headquarters.
Wait,
in Scottsdale, Arizona.
What's a taser grenade? What does that do?
It's for when you're not close to the person and you want to tase them. So a regular taser, you know, you got a 6 foot range or something. You pull it out of your belt and you shoot them, and it's connected to wires. A taser grenade actually shoots out of a grenade launcher, and it's kind of a rubber ball. And when it hits the skin, the metal prongs come out of the ball and attach to the person, thereby incapacitating them. So
that was the coolest thing ever said on this show.
Often you would hear, "Hey, you, two blocks down, don't tase me, bro." Okay, yeah, just go. Give me three adjectives of how that felt.
Blindly gripping pain.
give me something that was in that genre that the Daily News didn't approve. Was there any, if you can? I mean, was there something you were like, "I want to do this," and they were like, "Oh no."
You know, I can't think of anything along
those
lines.
Let you do anything you want.
This is a newspaper that during the World Cup, USA versus Belgium, was our last game in the World Cup, they sent me to Brussels dressed like Uncle Sam.
Okay, take it back.
I spent a few days running around the Belgian capital screaming, "Go USA, go USA," just before the big match. I even went to the national stadium on the game night, and there was a huge sign that said "Belgian fans only."
Wow, nice!
They don't want any physical altercations. But I went in dressed like Uncle Sam, and lucky for me, this was Belgium and not England.
Yes,
right. Because if this was Manchester, I don't think I'd be sitting here today talking to you.
No, the Daily News must have a very good healthcare program to send you to a place like that. It's amazing. All right, what other story you got?
We got Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is selling milk.
Okay.
It's been dubbed Milk-a-Cola.
Milk-a-Cola, yeah.
On Twitter. Fairlife is a reconstituted milk product. First of all, why the fuck do we need a reconstituted
what
milk product?
What does that mean? They ground up cows and you add water to them?
I have no clue.
They dehydrate the milk, I think.
It boasts of higher protein.
Okay, higher
less
protein.
Fat, more bone. Calcium than the standard milk products. Fairlife, which costs roughly twice as much as regular milk, and milk is fucking expensive these days.
True. You're better off drinking gasoline.
Is distributed through Minute Maid, which is one of Coca-Cola's divisions.
Okay.
Why? They're calling Coca-Cola's PR people call this a money machine.
Yes, they have to expand into more brands now that corn syrup
milk.
Going to be bad.
Milk, really?
So, Rocket, would you say, would there be a fight in the newsroom of which section would cover this story? Meaning, clearly the restaurant critic or somebody in food would say, I need to review it. Somebody in maybe business would say, absolutely not. This is one of the biggest companies in the world. We're going to run the numbers. And you as a gonzo journalist.
And your ad sales guys would have said, Coca-Cola, shut up, fuck off, no.
I'm not going to mention any names,
fair
fellas,
enough. Please.
But a certain publication called the New York Times, you'll often see the exact same story covered in multiple sections across different days. So new play will have an art story, and then a business story, and then a news story. So
it reminds me when my grandfather used to take the hamburgers and make them into sloppy joes, and then they were in the meat sauce the next day, and then the tacos, and then finally in the pea soup. Yeah.
Oh, but the thing was, that's awesome.
Yeah, you like that. That's good. Not as good as in that unnamed
It's
New York
a big
Times.
World out there, but it's also a lot of pages of newsprint to fill every day. And
I
now, of
imagine.
Course, the internet
inches.
Is even hungrier.
Isn't it
the
inches of newsprint? Is it still in inches?
Yeah,
do you guys still work in inches?
Yeah. It's still
as
in inches.
As do streetwalkers. They work in inches as well.
And football players.
That's true.
It's a game of inches.
It is. That's why we both deflated balls are great with streetwalkers
and
football players.
And maybe pizza crust, too.
Pizza crust.
Yeah.
Inches, true.
Which, if I could just throw out a little side note, you mentioned I was on a holiday, so I was actually in Colombia. So I was in Cartagena, Colombia, where you can have direct flights from JFK. Very convenient. Great place to go. Wow, there was a pizza restaurant.
Really? Okay.
Juan Del Mar, I believe, is the name. This guy, Juan Del Mar, is an amazing human being. He's a telenovela actor, and he's also the manager at the restaurant and the owner, and he sings at the restaurant.
That's
so he gets
awesome.
Up on stage and he sings to the crowd while they eat.
Can you get him on our show?
I don't even care that we don't have any sponsors. Our new sponsor, whether he wants it or not, is Juan Del Mar.
Yes.
Eating Disorder, sponsored by Juan Del Mar. Visit your local Juan Del Mar restaurant. There's a direct JetBlue flight to Colombia.
He's got a pizza.
Talk to us.
Yes. He's got a pizza. Some of the varieties are even called New York pizza, I think. Anyway, the thing, it's not what we would recognize as pizza because it's more like a cracker with hot cheese melted on it.
You called me a white guy. He's against bread. Talk to me, Rocket. I'm in. Hot melted cheese.
I don't want to go and criticize
my Valentine's
culture.
Day at Tooties. All nude, all friction dancing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is there a legal definition of pizza?
I think this should be explorative article that you could write.
Turn into a book deal. That is good.
And Daily News picks up the tab. You travel the world doing the origin story of pizza. And when they, you know, and you say,
not a bad idea.
I'm the only reporter besides Vicky Vale in Gotham. I know we got to wrap it up soon, so I'm just going to ask this. In the fictional world, from The Wire season 5 to The Newsroom to the really good movie that Patty Tchaikovsky wrote, Network, is there a fictional newsroom in book, TV, or film that you can point to that you say, you know, The Hour with the other guy from The Wire, but not playing the guy from The Wire? What, is there something you liked that you thought, you know, that's kind of close, or that's an idealized version?
Oh, that they got it right, you mean?
I want to know, did they got it right, and then the one that you were like, I wish it was
or
that
it was,
way.
Or, yeah, exactly, it was idealized.
It struck you in some way as a professional.
There's not that. I mean, you just mentioned kind of all of them, right? But there's, as far as journalism shows and movies goes, there's so many fewer than cop shows,
right.
Lawyer shows,
right.
Doctor shows.
Yeah.
Someone once explained to me that this is because you can't root for a journalist the same way you can a lawyer,
well,
doctor,
I mean, yeah,
or
there's
cop.
There's SportsCenter, though.
Well, all the President's Men.
Right. Well, that would be that's kind of the ideal newsroom.
Yeah.
Because they actually succeeded in bringing down the President of the United States, which is the dream of every journalist.
All right. Now, where can people get a hold of you? Where can they, besides buying the Daily News every day,
sure, or
looking
you can go
for
to
your byline?
NYDailyNews.com.
Yep.
Read it there.
Yeah, photos.
I'm at JustinRocket.com. Got some fun videos and articles up.
Do you welcome, if people are like, I got a story for this Gonzo journalist?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then they hit you with an email.
JustinRocket@gmail.com.
And they're like, we want to fill you up with Milko from Coca-Cola and then shoot a whole bunch of stun grenades, tasers at you.
I actually got a stunning amount of emails from folks after our pancake eating competition.
Really? Okay.
Saying, that Crazy Legs Conti, 14 pancakes.
I know.
Get that in my sleep. What is this guy? Why, why doesn't he come down to Maryland?
Hello.
I just got my James Franco Kenzo Flying Tiger shirt from eBay for $17, not the original $450 price in the mail. So I'm going to have to quote him on the way out. I'm going to have to say that, you know, haters got to hate and ain'ters got to ain't. Or whatever.
What was it?
I thought that was a quote.
No.
The interview.
They hate us because they ain't us.
See, I didn't even quote it right. Do they have a fact checker?
They hate us because they ain't us?
Yeah, ain't us. Do they have a fact checker at the Daily News?
No, I mean, newspapers don't. They don't have the. No newspaper has a fact checker. It's just a matter of time and.
Oh, all right.
No, they actually just chain the interns to the wall.
I've written for, so you know, magazines before. I actually worked at Wired Magazine as a fact checker back in the day. So I understand that process, but it's time consuming.
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to sit there and underline every fact and double underline every proper noun so you make sure you spelled it right.
Yeah, for magazines.
Like with a pen?
Yeah, well, this is while you're in the process of fact checking.
People actually use pens? I mean, like, they don't... Okay.
I mean,
all right. I got to get to this folded over pizza, the Involto. But,
wait,
please, Rocket, yes.
If I could just say...
You may say anything you like.
a credit to my colleagues.
Yes.
The low number of errors that appear in newspapers every day, it is a credit to the journalists that write these stories, in all seriousness, because they have no one checking their facts. They have a copy editor that reads it over for grammar, but you got to make sure that these dates are correct and that you're spelling these names correct. And
so your copy got to be clean.
There you go.
Copy's got to be clean.
Copy got to be clean. Let's have James Franco say that in Sausage Party, which they're filming on the Warner Brothers lot. But a big thank you
to
Justin Rocket Silverman.
Woo!
Check him out at the Daily News. Heck of a job.
Thanks, fellas.
And we're going to eat this folded pizza.
Yes, we are.
For Eating Disorder, I am Crazy Legs Conti.
I am the Reverend Spiro.
And we'll see you again.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.